Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, London! Welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's just been up the bloody tower. It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much. Hello. Welcome. I'm wearing my suit. Yeah. I'm wearing my poncy shoes with a big heel. I think I might be getting married. You never know. We'll see how it goes. One of tonight's guests. I've always loved Joe Wilkinson. So it's welcome to Richard's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was hanging around with Chubby Checker and the Fat Boys the other day. That's my favourite incarnation of the twist. You wouldn't be allowed to do that anymore, would you? Political correctness gone mad. They call it Rahalastapa. So catches on. Again, we're going out almost immediately. I could do topical jokes, but fucking hell. Thanks, the news. well done. But I will say, it's Movember, I would just like everyone to support Movember if you can by growing a moustache or putting on a moustache or just doing whatever you want to fundraise for Movember. Absolutely fantastic cause. As I said last week, I did it 2 years ago. 3 years ago, and then got testicular cancer straight away. So that's how quickly it can work for you. I don't know how it happens to everyone, but we'll see. I raised a lot of money, so I got it all back. Fantastic. We came to London for a couple of times this weekend, and we brought the family to see the Tower of London, which was nice. Very, very expensive, given we've already paid for it. It's ours. they've got a lot of things in there, so they could just sell one of those fucking giant gold plates and let everyone in for free, couldn't they? So for the rest of the millennium, my son was very excited because we went into the bloody tower, and I told him he was allowed to say, as long as he said tower, he could say bloody tower. That was a mistake. We saw King Henry VIII's armour. I don't know if you've been in and seen the armour that King Henry VIII wore. He had a little metallic codpiece on there. So we saw Henry VIII's cock's been in there.
I showed him that. Then I showed him where King Henry VIII murdered his wife. So, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful tourist attraction. Do head down there. It's lovely. I'd just say, last week we had... it'll be out in a few months, actually, for you at home, but we had Davina McCall on, and there was a journey. Someone's job is to come along to this show and then steal stuff and try and put it in the newspapers. They successfully did. If you're that person, fucking grow up. And at least wait until the podcast is out, you absolute fucking cunt. If you see anyone making notes or recording, just punch them in the face. They're probably a journalist. And if you are that journalist, just think about your life choices. What you've done. At least, I mean, you're better than most of the journalists because you've come out rather just sat at home and waited to watch the chase and go, oh, Bradley Walsh pretended to be annoyed there. I'll write that up as a story. Used to be a fine profession, didn't it, being a journalist? I'm slightly annoyed. Right, we'll move on. My guest this week, he's probably best known for playing various characters in Robert's Web. That's why we're all here today. It's one of our favourite programmes here on Rutlestaber. Will you please welcome the multi-charactered Joe Wilkerson, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Wilkerson from Robert's Web. Robert's Web.
Oh, yeah.
Robert's Web. Remember, what I like about Robert's Web.
Yeah.
It's like a clever joke.
Yeah, I think that was...
There's a clever joke in the title. Yeah. When you're laughing that much just at the title, you know it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Fucking hell, yeah, I forgot about that.
What would you have... what do you have chosen as your best known...
have you got them?
I've got everything. I've got another one I nearly chose.
Go on, tell us the other one.
I nearly chose you're best known for being in a Hellman's mayonnaise ad with Sue Barker and Brian Blessed.
Hell yeah, right. You know, you asked me if anything would be cut from the pot. yeah, can we go back to Robert's Web? Yeah, that was, I think it was, oh, that's terrible. I didn't watch it.
It was an early credit as well. If you were that disillusioned, you didn't even watch it.
Yeah, I think it was looking at funny things on the web.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. But Robert Webb was doing it. That's what it was.
Yeah, I don't know how that two and two came to that. That's amazing. Fucking hell. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I didn't come on this for a while. So I thought that might get brought.
You've done some other stuff since then, luckily. I mean, if that was it...
wasn't asked back to Robert's Web.
I'm not sure Robert Webb was asked back.
No.
It became David Mitchell's Robert's Web afterwards.
Either, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Good. All right, well, never mind. We won't talk about that anymore.
I could watch you put your glasses down like that all day.
Yeah. It's quite nice,
isn't it? Speed.
It's both a hairband and a spectacles. That's what I like about it. It's dual purpose. Opticians don't like you using it as the hairband, though, because you're stretching out the arms. Are you a glasses wearing man?
Yeah. I get my right eye droops.
Does it?
Yeah. Showing off. If I don't wear my glasses.
If you don't wear your glasses.
Yeah, my eye starts to drop and you get... There's two types of reactions.
How far does it droop down?
Well, I don't know. I've never seen it.
Okay.
But like, I know it's happening because there's two types of reactions. People either go, the fuck is that? Or they go, and then I know it's drooping. But hopefully one day it's not. This is filmed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is filmed. If it happens, we'll put a patch up.
Zoom in.
Have you been to the Tower of London?
I don't know.
The crown jewels are there?
I've walked past it, but yes. I think I saw the price and I thought, no.
It is expensive. Apparently, if you buy it with a rail ticket, you get 2 for 1. So someone's just told me today because I was complaining.
Why?
I don't know. I guess because it's too expensive for people to go in, so they go to go the train. There weren't many people there. It was straight in to see the crown jewels.
But why?
You could try them on, everything, take them home with you. It was fine.
With a what? With rail...
The crown jewels are there.
I'm not going to care about that.
Because I wrote a blog about it saying how expensive.
Are you still doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Fair play.
I read it
for a bit.
I've done it for... It's actually coming up to 22 years, I think.
How do you feel about that?
No, it's only 21. I tell a lie. When it's 22, I'll think that's too much.
Yeah.
Well, I'm, you know, I'm not the only one. You did a podcast every morning for most days. No, it's 3 days a week, but it was 5 days a week.
Yeah, and I regret that.
Yeah.
But I stopped.
Yeah. Once I start yeah, doing something, it's hard
to... It's impressive, to be fair. How long do you do it for? How long does it take you?
It takes about half an hour, I'd say, now, most days.
Really? When do
you
do it?
Sometimes I have to sit and really think about stuff. But it's the same. It's like we were talking about this backstage. When you just go, I'm going to give myself permission to be shit. So I just, I'll just write whatever comes out, and sometimes it's
not a
great
way to sell my pod, though. It can be shit.
Well, if you're doing something a lot.
It is.
I did a stone clearing podcast most days during lockdown, and that a live video stone clear, which about 200 people around the world watched quite avidly.
Because you can get the stats of how many stay to the end. Yeah. That's always interesting.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
They mostly, the people who start mainly stay to the end, because the people who don't start have seen it already. don't come back. That was tricky. That was tricky, but yeah, it's good to put stuff out there.
Any old shit, yeah. See what happens.
See what happens. Yeah. Throw it around.
Yeah,
what happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Look, let's talk about your book.
Oh God, do we have to?
Yeah,
it's embarrassing.
It's really good.
If
you're embarrassed, don't write books.
Right, don't write books and then get people
to publish.
I know. Thank you for just holding it up.
Look, it's very nice. It's beautiful. It's your autobiography, but it's quite a different format than most people would write.
Yeah,
autobiography.
Yeah, I can't write a whole book.
None of it has happened to you.
Nope. First problem.
And B, it's mainly pictures.
Well, it's all pitch.
it's nonetheless very entertaining. So it's a cartoon book.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you've worked on with Henry Packer. Who's
I didn't even draw it. I'm not sure how I was involved, but taking half the coin.
I think it's your book. Kindly shared 50-50 with your illustrator.
Yeah, he signed in that. Yeah, Henry Packer did the illustrations, who you know and I know is a brilliant comic, but he's... turns out to be dynamite illustration as well, so that's handy for me. but yeah, he's so I can't really take any of the credit. So I'm not sure why I'm here. Getting quite guilty of it.
You've written all the words, and I think that's quite.
Yeah, there's
a big
only
part
about 400 of them.
it's a good way to write.
A
good. You can read it quite quickly.
Yeah, thank you.
That's nice. That's for me, because I read a book a week. It's nice to have one that only takes...
book a week.
I do a book podcast every week, so I read a book a week and put out a book podcast every week. This is what this is going to be, Joe. You're in a book podcast. We're going to mainly ignore the book and move on to other stuff.
But we've
drawn them in with this... So it's, that's good for me. So
you're welcome,
Thank you.
How long did it take?
I did it in two sittings, and they took about half an hour each, I would say.
I can go back and pick your favourites.
I did. There's lots of things I liked about it. I'll tell you. Well,
I really love pros and cons.
I think it's quite because it's imaginative ideas, and it reminded me a little bit of Gary Larson.
Yep, fair. Yeah,
but that's a massive compliment.
Yeah, he's pretty good, isn't he? Fucking hell! Yeah.
I remember Gary Larson's one of those people I feel I discovered. Because he wasn't in... I mean, I didn't. I'll just say that to begin with.
No, you weren't involved.
But he wasn't in the UK at all. I was in America on a summer camp. And I found... This is, so weird.
What's the summer camp?
It was, where they send their kids in America. They send their kids away for 2 weeks just to get rid of them.
What were you living in America?
I was 19 years old, and or 18 years old, and I was a camp
counselor.
Oh, you
were running it?
I was looking after the children.
Oh, I thought you were sent away.
No. Sorry. I was a camp counsellor. I found a trunk, and at the bottom of the trunk there was a Gary Larson book, and I'd never seen it before. And I read that, and I just thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing when you discover something like that hidden away somewhere and think you've discovered it.
Yeah, no, 5 days is massive.
Yeah. I would say to be compared to Gary Larson is a big...
Again, that's Henry's...
It's not, though, because the ideas are yours, and the ideas are, very imaginative.
Oh,
so there's things
said
like...
Said I wouldn't cry. I'm so emotionless.
It is. Well, I always get them. I get them in the end. I like, you know, the things that I'll give one example of that is you argue that if you're scrumping something, so it's like apple scrumping is allowed, that as long as you're scrumping and have a basket, you can scrump anything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't count as theft.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a lovely idea, which you then explore at length and, you know, buy the book. There's a sampler here on the bar if you want to take a sample, if you haven't got one. So you can take home a sampler.
This is bleak, isn't it? Oh, God, why don't we come back and there's still, like, 11 left? There's only 15. I went,
If you don't like it, do put it back on the bar.
No, take it anyway.
What if you get out of the theatre and just see them?
Strewn
the
everywhere.
Bins.
All right, throw it away at home.
Recycle. You're a very modest man. That's what it's one of the things I love about you. And you know, you're not a bit. You're not like a show busy guy, even though you're a very successful in show business. I can't picture. We both of us have just been invited tonight to a party that Joe Lycett is throwing on the day. He's just decided to throw a party today.
That's insane, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's that confident that people will turn up. He's just invite people an hour before it starts, and they will turn up. But not me and Joe, though.
No. It's even, like, it doesn't really kick off till 9:30. Excusez-moi. So you'd have to hang around? No, not doing that. But Joe's lovely, but he doesn't need the average age shooting up, does he? Us two turning up. What's going on?
So anyway, well, I'll tell you where it is and what the password is. You can go.
Yeah, it might be a free bar. Fucking hell, it'd be amazing. 300.
The password's very easy to guess if you know Joe Lycett. That's all I'm going to say. So,
what is it?
Mummy. But they don't know where it is. But I'm going to sneak the information in bit by bit. It's going to be like a treasure hunt.
Yeah. I might just say it.
Yeah.
Would you go immediately if it was a free
bar? I mean, that would be... You know, it's worth trying just to see how many people we keep.
We'd lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's why you're quite pessimistic. I said keep and you said lose.
Shit. It's quite a lot in, isn't there? Yeah, sorry, just dawned on me.
There's loads of people.
Should probably up my energy levels. Sorry. So I sat up. Is that energy levels or just posture? Why am I holding it with both hands?
It's rather sweet.
Is it? Feels pathetic.
You're doing a stand-up gig after this gig, so are you getting? Because you obviously started off as a stand-up, and you're a very fine stand-up, and then your career has gone so fantastically well, and you've been doing so much acting. Why are you doing so much acting in TV that I'm presuming that's why we haven't seen much stand-up from you in recent years?
I'm doing it again, yeah. I haven't worked out why yet. I'm enjoying it at the moment, yeah. But it's always that bit, trying stuff's fun, and then, probably shouldn't say this if I do tour, but repeating it's so boring. This bit. Please come if I do. But no, I'm dead behind the eyes. No, that's fair though, isn't it? Like, when you're trying it out, it's exciting.
I think I used to feel like that, and I've used to find touring quite stressful and upsetting, especially if it was...
Why is it stressful?
When no one was coming and you were, the people who did come weren't laughing, then it's quite hard to...
Enjoy
get the energy
it?
Out. Yeah, to enjoy it. It's sort of like the opposite of what's meant to be happening.
If there's no one there and the ones that there aren't enjoying it...
I can never...
Fucking hell.
I could never remember...
I would tweak the stuff.
There's one venue that I had a really terrible gig at, and I thought, I'm never going to come back here again. And I never remember what the name of it is. And every time I turn up there again, I go, this is the place.
Leicester Y Theatre. I supported the lovely Jenny and Claire, but wow, they're not my audience.
Yeah.
Hated me.
But it's, you know, I think, like, as you... I don't know. I think it's interesting because I've been reading Adam Bloom's book, which is going to be a future book club. And he's got very good stuff about stand-up, but also about how important persona and how you enter and how you put across who you are. And I think you've got such a strong image straight away and such a strong idea of who you are.
Right.
That I don't think I've got that. I don't think I've... after 30 years, I still don't think... I don't think I quite know who I am.
Let's work on it.
Yeah, who am I?
Who are you?
Because I just like to change around what I'm doing. So I could go high status, low status, I can do anything.
Yeah, well, it's like, I guess, for stuff, it's sort of like, sort of being like a Mr. Man or something, isn't it? Come on and go, oh, like Rob Beckett's, the, you know, the Cockney Wally or whatever, and... I think that's fair. Well, you know, he's not a Wally, but he pretends, you know. but I think if you can sort of describe someone in, like, a sentence, what their act is probably helpful. I always thought with stand-up when... If you talk about yourself on it, which I think it's good... I don't know why I'm talking about it. I'm boring myself now. But I think it is good because the more they sort of learn about you, the more they can kind of invest. So I think it's harder if you talk about... like themes and stuff, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. If you've got a theme about something that's not about you, I think it's harder for people to invest in you, if you know
but
what I mean.
Then your character on stage isn't really very
no,
you.
No, it's not me.
So
no.
You've created a persona that you are, aren't in real life.
Yes, absolutely. Because I get it, like, I had a sort of moment where I was like, well, everyone's sort of like waiting for stuff to happen to them to talk about. And I was like, well, why don't I make it up? there's no rule. So I just made everything up and it just got out of hand. Yeah. You know, like, now I can't stop.
As long as people enjoy it, it's all that matters.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
But you came to stand up quite late, I mean, by modern terms.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now lots of people start pretty young. You were like 30, right, when you started.
Yeah, mental when people go, started when I was 15. I was like, fucking hell.
What were you doing before you were a stand-up?
What jobs?
Yeah.
All sorts of shit. I was delivering internal mail, worked on a golf course, worked in a toy shop.
Oh, yeah?
Fucking hell. Depressing. crap jobs. Then I did, I did a bit of graphic design. Heart was not in it. all sorts of things that... I didn't know I was, like, wanting to do something else, but I was just so bored. And then I'm very appreciative of doing a creative job. Like, not so much performing and stuff, because I find that all a bit embarrassing, but the fact that it's a creative job, I'm very, very grateful of. And I think sometimes when people have started very young, I go, have you? You've not been properly miserable, and to appreciate the fact that you sort of clawed your way out of like these shitty jobs, and then you can piss around for a living and write things and stuff like that. So I'm very appreciative of that, having done lots of jobs I didn't really enjoy.
Yeah, and I think it gives you a perspective on, you know, on what... Yeah, exactly that, but I think it gives you some life experience to draw on as well, which I think...
Well, I make it up, so I could have started at 13.
You have to experience life to invent life, right? You
can't...
If you'd sat in a bubble and not experienced anything in life, you wouldn't be able to invent anything, because you would just go, oh, I'm sitting in my egg again.
I've got nothing to add. Sorry. I got confused.
Okay.
I'm definitely involved in some way, that's what I mean.
And did you meet up? We obviously were with Diane
and
two episodes of MASH, which is a fantastic live show and radio show.
Did bits on telly. Yeah. There was always a possibility of there's a lot of talk about it going on, like having our own series, but no one ever wanted a proper meeting about it. So it was always sort of something we hoped would happen. But then I realised that, there's lots of talk like that, which most stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But, I loved doing the stuff with Diane. It was really fun. But, it was really early when, like, nothing sort of mattered. Do you know what I mean? There was no sort of consequence to dying on your ass and stuff like that. So, and we died a lot. And I really enjoyed dying on the stage with someone else. Is fucking brilliant. On your own, it's really shit. But with someone else, it's fucking funny.
As long as you stay loyal to each other.
Yeah.
No, We always say hello to each other on stage. I remember Kevin Eldon used to talk about, the actor Kevin Eldon used to talk about a double act he'd seen that were dying, and one of the guys was doing something, the other went, he's shit, isn't he?
That would make me laugh.
That's pretty good.
No, we never threw us each other under the bus, but it would really tickle me. Dying for an hour at Edinburgh's does put how funny that is to the test, but but we should do that. I was talking to someone else. You've done loads of Edinburgh. Have you ever done the Pleasance bit? You know, did you ever get on the? I'm sure you did the sold out board.
I did. Yeah.
What does that feel like?
Well, I don't. You know, some people make a big deal out of it, but
loads of people.
Yeah,
do.
But it's like some of the shows sold out all the way through. But it's, I think if you sell out all the way through, that feels quite nice.
Yeah.
But I don't think that ever really happened to me very much. So like, if you're not selling out the weekend, then then there's no way your career can go anywhere, Joe. So
I was just we never really took off in Edinburgh. So
no, but I saw like Sean Lockham, Bill Bailey do rock in Edinburgh to literally five people when I was one of those people.
Wow.
And you kind of look, and it's the same with that. If people said you could have gone to see Joe Wilkerson, Diane Morgan in Edinburgh, and you didn't fucking go and see him. You know, imagine not going to see Sean Locke and Bill Bailey do a double act show together. That's just...
Is it called Rock?
It's called Rock, I think, yeah.
What did they do?
It was about them being in a band or backstage or something. I can't really remember. It was shit. it was good. I thought these guys had... It was a long time ago. It was about them being in a band. One of them was a musician. I think the other was a roadie, I think.
Right.
But you know, I mean, amazing. Yeah. It's amazing to have been there, but I was drunk, so I don't remember.
Right. Matt Crosby tells me that he saw Flight of the Conchords when there was like eight people in the audience, like their first couple of days in Edinburgh. It's like, fucking hell. And they're doing like Wembley and all that.
So I think it's, you know, it's not always a sign the person's going to go on to be a big star.
No, and also can mean there was something wrong with the show.
Yeah. but that's your, hearing your show on Radio 4, I thought always felt like, you know, that you felt like a show that shouldn't have been allowed onto Radio 4, and in a good way, though.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
But, you know, like, it was surprising, weird. You know, it was different than most Radio 4 comedy shows, is what I'm saying, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, because
thank you. It was quite weird, and we were very lucky, and I loved that. I loved that time. Working on radio is fantastic, because telly, if people hate you on telly, they tell you. But if they hate you on the radio, they just turn off. And I was like, oh, this is for me. Like, some people love it, some people, but they're not as sort of hateful on the radio for some reason, so that was quite good. And then telly people will, you know, pretty much find a way to let you know it's you're not their cup of tea, basically.
Yeah, I guess we used to get, I mean, we were on in the days before the internet, so there was we used to get a lot of letters complaining. We did quite a lot of religious sketches on our first Radio 4 show.
Naughty.
And that we would get quite a lot of complaint letters.
Yeah.
But they're all dead now, so. That's the way I look at it. So they're in heaven. They're in whichever heaven they believed in. And so that we're all happy. But now it feels like the world has become those people. The world has become those people, those minority people who would complain about everything and not get anywhere. And then now, because of social media, everyone's Mary Whitehouse.
Yeah, fuck, mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I get it sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. You know, sometimes it's not all good, and fair enough. Yeah. Fair place.
Let's talk about Taskmaster, because you are the least successful Taskmaster contestant.
I think you've won
the equal fewest tasks with, I think, Sarah Pascoe and maybe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think that's true.
Fuck.
Again, you are the person that I remember the most stuff of. I don't, you know, I've watched them all, but yours the most memorable. The potato thing, obviously, we could talk about a lot. I just watched it again. It's one of the cruelest things I think has ever been on TV. Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah, it was mean.
It was absolutely horrible.
Well, I'm always slightly embarrassed about how puffed up I got when they showed it. I thought, I'm gonna milk this. But before the show, what happened is... I'm such an idiot. I was talking to Greg Davis, and I said, oh, you know, just chatting away. And he went, oh, I think this is it's going to be a good ep, this, because, there's this bit where we're going to fucking stitch someone up. and then so someone went, oh, Greg, no. And I went, well, I don't know what that was. And then still, and still threw myself wholeheartedly into my celebration. So I was basically told we're going to stitch you up, but I didn't. I didn't listen.
I mean, it's a shame, but there's been quite a lot of. Have you seen the kind of controversy over it that's come out subsequently?
No.
In that some people have argued your foot did not touch the red green.
I'll grow up.
Because as we look, the end of your shoes, and I think you
point some, up, yeah,
they point up. So yeah, although
always
it was,
have, always will.
It was over, but not on. So, and someone did quite a lot of analysis into it and decided
really?
That you had not touched the red green.
Jesus.
So we
whacked.
Have to go back.
Go back and get my point.
Yeah.
Would I? Yeah, probably would.
Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing bit of television because they go. I'd forgotten this.
It's very well
watched
produced.
It. They yeah. They send you out of the room.
Yeah, that was
and
Richard
your
Austin,
fellow contestants have to decide. And I can't believe
they
the
bury
Judases.
Me. Yeah, I know. Well, I think wasn't it John and Ben who
yeah.
who flung me down?
Yeah,
the
so
hole.
Richard yeah. Osman and Catherine Ryan both.
Yeah, Catherine's really nice.
Put their hands up immediately yeah. and said, "You know, we'll give them the points," which obviously you should have got the points.
Yeah.
I touched the red green on one of my tasks that I was really proud of as well, but everyone did, didn't, and so nobody got any points. But I was really annoyed because that was one that I'd done. You had to put something in liquid high up,
hold on. You had to what?
You had to fill a cup, but it was really high.
Oh,
up.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was.
And I managed. I'm useless at that kind
of
thing, and I'd done it really. I just got a stick, a big long stick, and I managed to tip it so it tipped. So I don't know how I did it. So it filled, but I just before it had started, I would say, I touched the red green.
Did you kick up a fuss?
No. I was just crushed.
I think I crawled along the floor and begged.
It was, it's the worst. It's one of the greatest moments of anyone's ever done anything in Taskmaster, and for them to smash you into the ground like that.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
It's brilliant.
Not there.
Absolutely brilliant television. Mm. And my other fact, the one that I really remember, when I went on it, I was thinking back, you know, what the ones I'd seen.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that I always think of when I think of Taskmaster is you trying to impress a mayor. And
a proper mayor, that bloke.
Yeah.
It was a
mayor. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I was just over the moon to meet a mayor.
Yeah.
He's quite young for a mayor.
He was young, but yeah. You know, he's worked hard.
Very nice man.
Yeah.
I found him quite flippant for a mayor. I thought there'd be more sort of stern. But oh, yeah, I got him.
You got 42 kilippos.
And some strong lager.
Four, eight cans of lager, yeah. £15 you gave him
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, I was. Do you know what? With a 15 quid, I thought, I'll bet they'll reimburse me. And after shouting, I'll be funny, it's 15 quid. And I kept sort of like going, like being casual about getting the 15 quid back. And I was sort of like, Joe's hanging about a bit, isn't he? All right, yeah, we done? And then they said, and then as I left, they went, oh, we're gonna give the money to, they said, a local charity. I went, oh, fucking hell, yeah, well, I forgot about that. Are you? It's annoying.
I'd love to see you arguing that you just wanted him. Come on. I just have it back though, instead.
Come on. What is this charity? Is 15 going to make any difference?
It would have been good if he'd just gone out and bought £15 more of Calippo.
I'm just glad I didn't have any more in me. Because
yeah.
I just went, whatever I did, I'd never have cash on me. It's annoying. Anyway.
Yeah. The Calippo is a funny. I'm a big fan of ice creams and lollies. The Calippo or the Calippo.
Calippo.
Yeah, I think Calippo.
Stick with a name. Yeah.
But the Calippo makes it sound like some kind of thing
those
that would be in a hospital.
Put, leg braces, yeah. And the other thing was, most embarrassing, the thing that, I don't know if haunts me is the right word, but I, with Taskmaster, they usually sort of follow you everywhere. And with that one, I sort of ran off and they, and you had like 10 minutes or something or 15 minutes to work out how to impress the mayor. So I ran off and they ran out of that, you know, that house in Chiswick or something, isn't it? It's a really weird house, disgusting house. Imagine living there. really, you know, one of those places that you go, you could only Airbnb this. Couldn't live here. Too weird. And so I ran off and they sort of followed me for a bit and then just stopped. And I was like, oh, all right. So I had to run into Chesham in a fucking suit, which is a brown, stupid suit, and like dash round like Tesco's, but no one was sort of following me. Or I thought at some point someone would go, what do you want? We're just going to get it. And I was just, I was actually going through like one of those massive Tescos on my own going, excuse me, where are the Clippos? Is this all you've got? Because I think it'd be funny if there's about 40. I was like a white twat.
Did you buy them in boxes and then take them out of the box, or did you get them? Did you get 42 individuals?
No, I think they were individual.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a lot of Clippos for one shop.
I know, and it wasn't yeah. feeling very funny when the woman was, dee, because you can... I've worked in a shop and you can do 42 and then, but
yeah.
And I think as a lady with a baby, I asked if I could go in front of. Now that is a low point. I'm making a Dave show. I think you find it's a lot more important. rank.
How many points did you get for that task?
I don't think I won it. I still didn't win it.
I think you only won four.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I doubt you won.
Do you have the ones I won?
I don't. I just thought that's what it was. Least amount of tasks won, is that's all I've written down.
With Pasco.
Pasco and...
I thought Pasco would do better. Oh, I was assumed she would have a bit better.
Well, you know, you have to be the sort of creme de la creme to win at tasks. There has to be something... Something very special about you to be that determined.
Did they champion of champions, didn't they?
Yeah.
Did you get your money up?
You get the same money.
Did you? You didn't because they couldn't have done it without you.
Could have pushed it up. Because I won, I didn't have to do it. Although I should do it myself. I offered my prize was for the winner to go to Pompeii. With the person of their choice and stay at a 4-star hotel in Pompeii, and that would have cost like 3,500 quid or something. I worked out.
Fuck that.
Which was most of the money I got paid. Ooh. Yeah, pretty good fee, huh? But also, it was only one episode, so.
That was good, isn't it? For one ep. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so it looks like you didn't get paid that much on Dave.
Ah. Yeah. But Channel 4 money, was it?
Yeah, it was big.
Different world.
It's a different world.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that would have featured in your autobiography were it had anything to do with your life.
Yeah.
Look, I was really interested because I know you're a big fan of sitcoms like Only Fools and Horses and Porridge especially.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the Cockfields you work with Bobby Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think, again, must have been a pretty special thing to happen.
Yeah, it was... I was like... I hope I can listen to it, but I became friends with Bobby Ball and that was like one of the thrills of my life. And was obviously, like, he beat me up a lot.
Did he?
Yeah, which was, oh, I loved. And, like, I was watching literally a video today, weirdly, popped up, you know, on, Facebook kind of thing where it says this happened this many years ago. He's just beating me up, and it was just, like, every day he just battered me, and it was just so much fun, and I was... And,
was it part of the show? The
no, no, like, he wasn't the most focused. He used to just, like, beat me up. And he just finished bending my fingers back, and Diane tapped me on the shoulder and said, imagine 11 years old, someone telling you in 30-plus years you're... be beaten up by him. And I was like, oh my god, yeah, it's like one of the thrills of my life. And he was genuinely lovely and quite a dappy dresser as well, which sort of blew my mind. But yeah, that was unbelievable. And when you work with him, you sort of go, oh right, that's why you're a massive. He was just a different level of funny.
Yeah,
he was just little looks that were just unbelievably funny. And yeah, it was one of the thrills of my life.
It's interesting with him, and with a lot of that generation, because it also obviously for like I was a comedy fan, and I was young enough that when they were on, I absolutely loved Bobby Brown.
Oh yeah,
but then became a bit cooler, and then I became a bit cooler. Right, or thought I was, and then thought, oh no, I like the young ones or whatever. But interestingly, like Rick Mayall was in Cannon, did Cannon and Ball. Did you know that? It was in a sketch with Cannon and Ball. He did their show.
Oh, wow.
It's worth looking up. It's really interesting to see them working together. But I think Bobby Ball had that alternative energy.
Yeah, completely, yeah. It just happened to be in the time when it was sort of mainstream stuff that, you know, was popular. But I watched, after he passed away, I watched, like, hours and hours of stuff.
Yeah.
And it is so mental what he was doing on ITV at 8:30, and just so funny, and just different level of funny, basically. Yeah. We interviewed Tommy Cannon on our podcast and just talked about that, and just how, you know, like, you know, I just found it really sort of sad and amazing that they just got on for like 60, you know, years, and were fighting, you know, still working together, we're about to go on tour, and yeah, it was just, you know, lovely to meet him as well. So we the Caulfields didn't happen. We couldn't get it to happen again, and we were going to get Tommy on to do some stuff and play characters. So that would have been lovely, but yeah, it didn't happen in the end. But yeah, lovely, lovely man.
Oh, that's nice. Let's talk about. There's a lot.
Is there?
There is. There's lots of different things. Let's talk about afterlife. Afterlife's interesting because I played a postman in Time Gentlemen Please, which that show may come up again.
Didn't you write it?
I wrote it, yeah.
Yeah,
so I wrote it. So I was a postman. And my dream that I've discussed on this is to play a postman in every single sitcom. I think wouldn't it be great if just that was.
Yeah, it's quite.
There was just one guy, and he was in every.
Oh, the same
he was just
character.
He was just the postman every sitcom.
But you're going to play it the same in everything.
Yeah, play it the same. Fuck, and like be a very minor character. I know your character's not that minor, but mine was very minor. But you play postman Pat in.
I do. Yeah, it was great as well. It was lovely, to do it, and it was also I could because. You'll know this, if you film in one location, wow, you can get it done quick. So I walked down a hill from two different directions, basically. So it was all done in a couple of days. And so it was like a really intense couple of... Yeah, it was a bit intense. You had to know all your lines because it's usually like, you know, do that day and then 2 weeks later, whatever. But yeah, I was just walking down. But there was... there was the actual postman came down the road and the fuckers locked me out. They all went in the house and just shut, and I'm dressed like that. And all right. Thank you. Thank you. And he didn't have a great sense of humour. They all fucking locked the door on me, pricks. But it's quite funny. The thing I regret most is the photographer was really the guy that does the stills, and you'll know this. You know, sometimes like it's a long day, and they go, oh, we've got to do some steals. And they always say, we've just got to do some steals. And I was really tired. And he goes, I've got an idea. Let's pop you on the top of the post box. And I was like, oh, fuck off. And eventually, sort of like, just wouldn't leave me alone. And I sat on this fucking post box, and that is everywhere, that picture now. And I. Such a deal. Like, why would a postman be sat? I was going to have my break, have an apple, by somehow climbing on a 6 foot in post spot. So embarrassing.
But, like, it's obviously this is like a worldwide sitcom because it's on Netflix. So yeah. It's all over the world.
Yeah.
Does this mean, I don't know how much you travel around the world, but does it mean you're recognised wherever you go?
A Turkish. Shepherd had a picture of me. Genuinely. I'm not joking. Like, we were in the middle of nowhere, and a man with, I'd say, around about 1,000 goats walked down, and we were just watching him going, fucking hell, that's a mad life. And then he went, and then pulled out a phone and he said, oh, and he said afterlife. I never posted, and then he just pissed off. And I was like, wow, that show travels.
That's incredible, though. I mean, it's.
Yeah, mad, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
He had a really good phone. But it was weird because he was like, he's eating his own the cheese he'd made himself.
Yeah.
But then had a really nice phone. I don't know why that that's makes, how why you up. Wouldn't, but why
that's
you can't.
Why, that's why today the kids, they're all eating avocados, so they can't afford nice phones. If you make your own cheese out from your own goats.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're saving a lot of cash.
Yeah, nice fella.
Get an iPhone.
Nice fella. Had a lovely colour. He's outdoors all the time.
Yeah. What were you doing in Turkey?
I was doing a television programme with Zoe Lyons and... looking at shepherds. That's a hell of a premise for a show.
Do you think you'd make a good? Do you think you'd be a good shepherd? If it came down to...
I don't have the dedication.
No.
No. I my mind wanders because they need a lot of looking after. It turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they just... to be honest with you, he didn't look like he was fully in control of it. he had the look of a man going, yeah, I'm happy to go right. I felt like he didn't have a destination. He was just circling and, you know, finding grass or whatever. I don't know. I know nothing. Yeah, I'd make an excellent shot.
No, I think you'd be good.
Yeah, I learned so much from that guy.
Would you like that solitary life?
Yeah, definitely, actually. Yeah, if I could, if I didn't... The only thing I wouldn't like is having to put a tent up.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there was tents strewn about, you know, ready, huts and things.
Yeah.
So where have I ended up? I didn't have to put one up and take one down.
Yeah.
Then I'm in.
You can get ones that just kind of pop up out of the bag now.
Yeah, there's still a pisser to put back.
You have to put them back.
Yeah. You ever seen those are like...
Yeah.
And then when everyone's had enough of camping, that prick's still there. It's a twist, Stephen. It's a twist.
If you ate your own cheese, went out with the cheese from the goats, didn't eat your own cheese.
It was like in a bag.
If you ate your own cheese.
It was in a bag as well. It was in like a lot of felt, like a Hessian bag.
Yeah.
And he offered some, and I was too impolite to go, that looks bad. So I had some. But I didn't.
Was it nice?
Well, it'd been on his person for a while. So I feel like it was sort of hanging there. And I was like, well, that's body temperature, isn't it? Nothing I could do about that. Could we chill it first?
It looks like from all the bloopers and things I see in Afterlife that
you have a lot.
I mean, is it a lot of fun?
It's great fun.
But, like, as an actor, you know, does it get... Because it's, you know, if things are going wrong, or then people are messing things up all the time on purpose a little bit, which it feels like Ricky does.
But he's in, like, he does piss around a lot, but he does make, what one of his skills is he does make everyone very relaxed on the set, and you do get a hell of a lot more out of people when they're enjoying it, really. Yeah, yeah. And he gives a lot of people confidence and stuff. He laughs at people. You know, he's a laugher. And that, yeah. I just watch you. You know, I've worked with him a few times, Dan. And you watch people really kind of grow with confidence and just get better and better. And so, yeah, he does ruin some stuff. But then he gets a lot out of people and they become really funny. And he really likes people who can improvise, and he gets people to, you know, that you got to relax to improvise and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he knows what he's doing. He is a big kid, but I think there's method in his madness, you know. Yeah. What I mean?
He's doing all right, isn't he? He's doing a, according to his own Twitter feed, I have to say. But he is doing very well.
He's got a couple of bob, I think.
he's made some cash, I think.
He has,
as I understand it.
I believe he's got a detached house. Imagine being able to walk round your house. All this is mine.
Oh, another thing I like to put back to the book and talking about bloopers. I don't hope this isn't giving too much away.
No, it's all right.
But there's it ends with some bloopers from the book, which is a nice touch. So the last few pages are things that went wrong within the cartoons in the book.
Yeah, like they were scenes. Yeah, do you like that?
I thought it was very funny.
Oh, good.
Well, there's lots of nice. Like you don't know what a prologue is, so you put the bus timetable for Crawley to Redditch. Is it in the So that's good. So
Redhill.
Sorry, that's Crawley's so Redhill, yeah. You know, that's useful as well. If you
I've never really understood a prologue, so I stuck a bus timetable. Yeah.
There's a lot of things in there that would that a lot of people.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion with Random House. I think I broke them. Why are you doing that? I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Tim Key was on last week, and you know, it's very much going your own way with something. So it's it has its own feel and it's its own thing, and you wouldn't get it from anyone else. It's very enjoyable. It's a lovely Christmas gift for a fan of Joe Wilkinson.
Thank you, mate.
Do you think that your fans get Christmas gifts still, or do you think they're, what age group do you think they're? I mean, will they have a stocking, or will it be?
Well, there's a lot of widowers.
Yeah.
I'm a widower magnet.
Do they get a lot of Christmas presents? I'm just worried about the
buy
sale.
Buy it yourself. Just buy yourself a present.
Wrap it up. Open it yourself on Christmas Day.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's a book. I know, I bought it for myself. Yeah. But yeah, it's the perfect present if you're alone. Oh, well, for an hour, apparently. I've always imagined going back and enjoying other parts, but you know, that's how you read it.
I'm not saying I won't go back and read it again. There's a lot of detail in there. Henry's put a lot of extra elements in there.
Fair play to him. I wouldn't have bothered, but
but it's a beautiful object. I've been reading it in PDF as well, which is on a PDF. I got sent a PDF of it. Like,
you're not going to send it, really?
Yeah.
So how bleak.
I had to scroll through. Now I've got a book, and it's beautiful.
I can't imagine it isn't enjoyable on a PDF.
It is still enjoyable. It's even enjoyable on a PDF. It wouldn't go across to my Kindle. I had to look at it on the computer.
No,
that's I tried to email it to my Kindle.
It's not Kindle.
My Kindle
friendly,
wouldn't take it.
No. Do you use a Kindle a lot?
No, I do if I get a PDF from someone.
Sorry you got a PDF. I don't know why.
Because they didn't have the books.
I've got hundreds. Genuinely,
I've got one now. Look, it's lovely.
It's a nice colour.
I really like that blue.
Yeah, it's so lovely. It pops, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So whatever you say about it, no one can take that away.
Look, I better ask you some emergency questions before...
Is that a good or a bad thing, emergency questions? Are you struggling with me?
I'm not struggling, because we've done a long time already.
Isn't it? Has it felt ages?
I mean, it's nice to get feedback from the audience in this way. Do a little questionnaire. Has it been acceptable? Has it been worth half the money you've paid, or do we have to? I think the second half might make up for if anyone.
Yeah, I feel like I need to get out of the way because it's going to fucking kick off. Let's just say the other guest is being kept well away. But you can just about hear the banging. I'm so scared.
I'm very scared.
Fucking, I've just seen your boots.
Yeah, look at them. I've got them by accident. I've worn them once here before. Because my worry with them is that people think
I know what your worry should be.
I bought them online and I didn't think they'd look like this and I didn't think they'd have a massive heel. The heel's the thing. So it looks like I'm a small man trying to look like I'm as tall as
Fucking Jane. Hell. That's blown my mind.
They are. I was going to say...
Are they Cuban heels?
I don't know what they are.
Because I've seen people wear them, but I've never spoken to them.
Look at it. It's a new. Well,
I've never felt comfortable.
I don't think I'm the typical wearer. I don't think my toes go all the way to the end of that.
I fucking hope not. Imagine your middle, your third one, just stuck to the end. I can't take my eyes.
This could be
off.
My character, though. I'm trying to find my onstage character. My onstage character might wear these. Yeah. I wouldn't wear these. I wore them out I went to a party on Saturday night and wore them out, and I have to tell you, they were quite uncomfortable.
Did it become a talking point?
No. No one noticed them. I'm really pissed off because we were sitting at a dinner table the whole time. I was hoping people would see them and be really disconcerted.
Is it real leather? I don't know why I'm rubbing my hand on the chair.
I think it's leather.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure. These might be herring shoes, or they might be...
How much were they?
I can't remember. They were quite a lot.
Was it over £100?
I think it might have been, yeah.
Over 150.
I don't remember, but it was I bought them and they've been at the bottom of the cupboard for two... Whether the last time I wore them, it was...
When you took them out, did you go... What was your immediate reaction?
It was, oh, shit, I'm not going to send them back because I can't be bothered to send them back, but I would have sent them back if I was that kind of person.
I wonder what percentage do get sent back.
I think the kind of people who buy them then have to go, oh, fuck, I have to live with the decision. I saw them online.
I genuinely didn't think there would be
anything like this. I like that they had stitched up the middle. That's all I like. I had a pair that was like that before, but they didn't look like these. But they're sort of like medieval clown shoes.
There's a look of metal clippity-cloppity.
Yeah, well, that's good, because that you often buy these kind of
shoes. That's not good.
It is, because you often buy these kind of shoes and then you're fucking slipping all over the place.
But the metal bit's not even touching
the floor. It does.
Honestly, on my life, walking, that is not touching the floor.
When you're walking.
Oh, yeah, like that, yeah. If you're tiptoeing around the kitchen, they touch the floor.
You sort of have to creep in these.
It's on that bit. Why is it on that bit? Look, see, not even close. Wow.
It's not take the piss out of my admittedly funny shoes.
I'm gutted I didn't see them earlier.
If you'd been wearing these on the red green, you'd have been absolutely fine. Yeah. There's no way. You could have been almost at the middle of the thing. Right, I'm going to go early on emergency questions. I'm going to ask you...
Okay. We did some of these earlier, didn't we? For your social media.
We did backstage. Would you rather have a tit that dispenses talcum powder or a finger that can travel through time?
A talky tit.
Would you?
Yeah.
You've got a finger that can travel through time and you want a talky tit. What are you going to do with your tit?
That's my answer.
It is.
What
do you do with the talc?
Oh, no. Well, it's talc without any... You know, it's good talc, right? It's not...
That was excellent talc. Yeah. I'm not going to give you a shoddy talc.
How does it come out?
But also, talc can be quite carcinogenic. I think.
I know, so that's what I was... But I'm assuming the talc, that talc, titty talc...
Yeah, I think you'd have to squeeze your breast area and then just puff out.
Oh, is it on me?
Yeah, it's your tit.
I thought it was on, like, a shelf or something.
That's just some talc. I mean, would you rather have some talc or would you rather have a tub of talc... Or a finger that can travel through time. It would be your finger, though.
Yeah, I like talc.
Yeah, okay.
I use talc. So does it never run out?
It never runs out. It's
well, I'll have a tit that dispenses talc. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think you could produce it on such levels that you could start selling the talc, but there'd be enough for personal
I'll do
use.
Whatever I want with it.
Okay.
It's my titty talc.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you had a finger that could travel through time, where would you go? What would you make it do? Go for backwards or forwards. No one ever thinks of going forwards.
There was a massive lump of fox shit on my wall at the front of my house.
Yeah.
And
on the wall?
Yeah, it was on the wall. So and we've got a freshly painted white wall.
Right.
And there was a fucking great
the fox. The fox got on the wall.
So I'd have it from about 3 days ago, just there waiting to... Make sure the fox doesn't have enough time to...
Oh, you could flick, you could poke the fox.
Yeah. And then I won't have to clear it up this morning.
You have to be careful with stuff like, because the fox might end up shitting somewhere even less convenient. That's the thing.
Well, it'd be hard because I poured hot water on it and it went into my recycling bin. So I don't think it's going to get much worse than that.
Onto the turd or the fox?
The turd went shh and then fell off the end and went into the tins and bottles bin.
Yeah.
And I wasn't prepared to let the recycling people deal with it, so I got it out.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, well, because, you know, they deserve better.
That's nice. You're an honourable man.
Mm.
That's what I like about you.
Yeah, but my message pointed out, why did I pour boiling water on it?
Yes!
Yep, she had a point. I'll get it out.
It would make the aroma worse, I think. The hotter the water, the worse the aroma. That's my guess.
Fucking made it shift, though, to be fair. It did not leave a mark. The water got right underneath it.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, like aquaplaning for a car. Like off. But then fell fully formed into my bins
into your
and
recycling
bottles.
Bin.
Yeah. Yeah, what a... The only reason it was there... Sorry to moan. The only reason it was there was because they didn't collect it a couple of days ago because of the wind.
So. That's the recycling rather than the fox poo.
Yeah, the fox, yeah. The recycling.
Why do you think the fox pooed on the wall? It seems an un-fox-like behaviour.
It's a nice wall.
I think it's
a thick, wide wall.
It's showing off, isn't it?
Like, yeah, we it's quite a busy road as well.
Yeah.
So maybe, God, imagine walking home drunk and... that fox has just curled one out.
A human once shat on my path at my house.
A human being.
There was a human shit in my just inside my gate.
You said gate, I thought the way you walked.
There's definitely been a human shit in my gate at times.
Are you saying you shit yourself?
I've definitely done
that. My friend worked at a estate agent in South London, and every morning he had to remove a human turd from his from the entrance to the back of the shop. Wow. Every morning for religiously for years. Not religiously.
I feel like doing that to most estate agents I've had to work with, though, to be fair. So that seems like payback.
No,
that seems like...
He was sort of, I think deep down he felt like he deserved it.
Yeah.
Because I think a homeless chap would dump on his step every day.
Yeah. Have you ever shat in a doorway yourself?
No. I would admit it if I had.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you
can't think of that. I have shat myself at a cash machine once.
A cash machine?
Cash machine. Yeah. What happened? We were glad I started this bit. we were at a cafe and me and my other half shared food, and then I had a pineapple juice.
Yeah.
But it was warm, and I was like, fine, it's whatever, you know, it's life. And then they didn't take card, which is fucking weird. But so I went to the cash machine, and as I got to the cash machine, I had a very sharp, sudden sharp feeling. I went, oh God! And it shot out of me. Like, oh God! No, sort of. I think I was sort of holding the card in. So like, the card was sort of holding me. You know, with the cold's half out, sort of holding me up. Oh God! And like I felt empty after. You know when it's so violent, you're like, well, there's nothing else in me. And I got, I used to get the money out and. I went back to the cafe. On the way back to the cafe, someone asked me directions. Not now. And I went back to the cafe and luckily my other half was sat by the door and I flung the door open, threw the 20 quid on the door, on the table and said, I'm going to phone you. And she sort of went... And... I phoned her and I could see her phone on the table, but she was reading a magazine. She didn't pick up. It's like banging on the window. I was like, didn't pick up. And eventually she picked up and I said, oh, I've just violently shat myself. You know, and well, go home then. And I still don't know why I said this. I said, imagine I'd done this in on Oxford Street. And she was like, go away. And then I had a shower in all my clothes. Yeah. And that was the horrible thing about that is my missus said, you work from home and I work from home. Why don't we ever go for lunch? And that's what happened, yeah. But it was, we think what happened is the, I think what happened was that they'd, someone else had had pineapple, ordered up pineapple juice.
Yeah.
And then they didn't use it. And they just, I think I remember seeing it on the windowsill, on, like, fermenting. Because it's quite quick to go through you, isn't it?
Like
half an hour. But, yeah. It
was, yeah.
What was the question? I hope it was relevant.
It was more or less relevant. It was good. It will become a new emergency question. I have to tell you, if you ever shat yourself at a cash point, and it would have been. It would have been fun.
And held yourself up by a Abbey National card.
I mean, it's so. I feel so. Because you were going to pay for the thing that had made you ill as well. It's sort of so.
Yeah.
Every time is so
and
tragic.
And I went back.
Yeah.
I ate there again.
And you had a shower with your clothes on, which I think presumably didn't deal with the problem. Because it was under your clothes.
I also threw up in... I drank a can of Pepsi too quickly once as I was getting in the bar. I don't know why I felt that. Like, I think I didn't like the idea. I had a Pepsi and then I was getting in the bath and I thought, I can't drink a Pepsi in the bar. That's weird. So I necked it and I got in the bath. And as I got in the bath, I threw it up. But when I have a bath, I like to get, like, right in like that. So it went, and then completely covered the bath.
Yeah.
And so I was, and it, but it was like an island of Pepsi sick, right? And it was floating above me, but, like, detached. It wasn't on me, like, floating. I was like, fuck, I'm trapped. Trapped under my own. And I was there for ages going, what the fuck do I do? Really still, and it stopped moving. But it was like, as I say, like an island. It was like half of New Zealand sort of down in front of me. And in the end, I had to kind of get up, and it just, the whole thing just stuck to me. And then I'd get out of the bath and undo the water and then have a shower in the bath that I was in. It's ended weird, isn't it? But and also, can I tell you one other thing? Because I'm quite proud of this. I once did a fart in the bath, right? Yeah. And my legs were crossed like this, right? They must have been quite level, and the little trump came out of my bottom and crawled along the crease between my legs, right? At such a slow pace, right? The whole time I could feel it moving, right? And I was like, this is incredible. Just like moving at that pace, this little farm bubble, right? I'd say it took, try not to exaggerate, maybe 4 minutes to get down my legs. And then a little plop, it came up at the end of my feet.
That's amazing.
And I was like, well, that's the best thing that's ever happened.
That's got to be Guinness. But if Norris or Ross McWhirter had been there,
yeah,
that's Guinness Book of Records.
4.5 minutes. Record breaker. Fucking hell, I've opened up too much.
You have. It's good. It's just suddenly that's what
you do it to people.
That's
don't
what
you?
The emergency questions do. I save them and then bang, you get three scatological stories. Oh, no, yeah. Anemetic stories.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, I'm delighted. Look. You've got a gig to get to, and time's clock is pressing against us.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to have to wrap it up. But by Joe's fantastic, it's genuinely...
We don't have to.
You can read it really fast. then recycle it and then have a fox shit on it and recycle it. That's what I would do. But, it's a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful thing. Henry's done an amazing job.
He has.
It's a 50-50 collaboration. It's beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the amazing Joe Wilkinson.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. See you again. Hang around. You have been listening to Rahulastapur with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Joe Wilkinson. Thanks to Scant Regard, as always, for doing this song. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker, to Chris Evans, not that one, to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, to everyone at ACAS. Let's not forget them. They're so important. Thank you to Ben Evans, Chris Evans, if I haven't said that, Go Faster Stripe, all the team, and everyone who knows me. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.